church. We can come into His presence right now, and we can make a decision to look for that place where there's no living. To look for the place where there's no pain. To believe that God is the God of promise, who He says He is. And we've got a choice now to step out of our day, which is always busy, to step out of our life, and to step into the promise, to step into everything that God has laid before us for tonight, for 2010. But He's not going to force us. We've got to choose to do it. So how about you choose right now? Step up, step in. See that place of no pain. See that place where our community is touched by God. See that place where people that we love and care for know God, are healed from all their dysfunction. What an awesome, awesome world that is. No weeping. Lord, as leaders in the house of God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for who You are in us. And we thank You for who You've made us to be. Lord, I thank You for every leader in this house. I thank You for every man, woman, youth who stood up and said, I will serve Almighty God. I will give my life. Lord, I thank You. I ask Your blessing upon each one of us. You know, some people come to church as passengers, but leaders come to drive the bus. Leaders come and they say, I'm not going to just come along for the ride. I'm going to serve. I'm going to find something to do. I'm going to do it with all my heart. And then that's exactly what they do. It's awesome. We've got an amazing community out in just outside our front door that's waiting for people to take initiative, that's waiting for people to say, I'll do whatever it takes. So how about we lift up our community? How about we stand together in prayer? How about we believe for the lost? How about we believe for the backslidden? How about we believe for the broken? We believe for the ones and twos and the manys. We believe for the family members and the friends. Think of someone you know and join together in prayer and let's believe for a miracle. Father God, we stand together today and we thank You for who You are. We thank You, Lord, that Your call is upon every single person in this community. Your word says that Your will is none shall perish. Father God, we thank You. Father God, we call in the lost. We call in the broken. We call in the ones, Father God, that You set Your heart upon. We call them in Jesus' name. And we just thank You, Father God, that Your will is for this house to be full. That Your will is for this house to be full. Father God, full of people who are healed and whole. Full of people who go back out into their community and make a difference. Come on, Lord, have Your way. Have Your way. We call the lost of Toronto in Jesus' name. And we thank You, Father. We thank You, Father. Can you see it? Can you see the lost? Can you see the ones that God already has His hand on? Because if you're not seeing it, you're not going to be praying for it. You've got to see it. God has so much for us this year. 2010 is off and running. And we are off and running. We've got an amazing 8 weeks coming up. We're going to be majoring. Everything we do this year will be on open arms, open heart. It will be on unleashing as much good in our community as we possibly can. And it will be looking for ways to propel every person to the ministry that God has called them to. Every person to their platform. That's who we are. That's who we are as a church. As church corporate. But it's also who we are as people. We're people who look for the good in others. We're people who look for ways to serve our community. And we're people who love God and want to show other people how awesome He is. Yeah? Awesome. Oh, Lord, come on, we just commit this year to You. 2010. Thank You for it. Thank You for the gift You've laid out before us. Thank You for the promise that You've put before us. Father God, thank You for every plan and purpose. Lord, we thank You. You are awesome, and we're so excited to see, Lord, what You're going to do. Lord, pour out upon our members. pour out upon our youth. Pour out upon every man, woman and child. Pour out your anointing. Pour out faith. Father God, pour out all that we need to do what you're calling us to do. Come on, Kosarabutia. Come on, how about we pray in tongues? Koshababakyaria Sarabotia. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Koshanakyaria Sarabota de Kiria Sarabota de Kuriam. Jesus, you are awesome. You are awesome. And we praise you and we give you all the glory. Amen. Amen. How about you say hello to someone who you haven't said hello to yet? Thank you, music team. You are wonderful. Welcome to Vision Night, our first one for 2010. This is where we get refueled, refreshed, renewed and ready to go. And I'm excited. We have got some amazing people as part of our team tonight, which is awesome. We've got Dallas and Ben, and we've got Christy, and we've got Ben. We've got Ben and Ben, the Flowerpot men. And Dave's going to introduce them to you later and talk a little bit more about them, so I won't spoil the surprise. Oh, welcome, we're glad to have you here. We're going to give you a yearly planner in a few minutes, but I want to talk to you a little bit first. So I just want to talk to you about what we've got coming up. We are about to enter a season that is going to be busy. But it's going to be busy for all the right reasons. It's going to be busy because we're out there making a difference. It's going to be busy. It's not going to be busy. It's going to be very full. But our attitude towards that fullness is going to determine if we carry that fullness well or if we just go and don't do anything very well at all. That fullness is going to be a challenge. And I think that's a God thing, because God doesn't want us to stay where we were in 2009. He wants us to go where he has for us this year. And that means we need to stretch. It means we need to grow. So I hope you're ready to grow, because we're growing. It's just that simple. We're growing in ourselves, and we're growing in numbers, and we're growing in our ability to impact this place we call Toronto and Newcastle. Could I have the PowerPoint up, please, Matt? Here's a little taste of what we have to come. Are you excited? Should I make you close your eyes and say, okay, one, two, three? No? Okay, no input. I'll give you input. Will that work? No. Tell me when it works. It's to get you in suspense. And once you're really in suspense, then I'll tell you, okay, because it's a surprise. No, really. I'll just go without it if it's not going to work. We've got this Saturday, we've got our mega car wash. This Saturday, we have our Good Stuff Project number 2, our mega car wash. Now, we have the most amazing opportunity right here this Saturday morning at 8 o'clock from 8 till 2. We have sent out media releases to every form of media in our local area. In Lake Macquarie and in Newcastle. So I'm fully expecting us to have people here. It's not going to be a no-show. It's going to be a place where we're probably going to be to capacity. We need all hands on deck. But it's not about washing cars. And it's not about providing great coffee, which we'll do absolutely. It's about providing a means to start developing relationship. It's about connecting with people we won't connect any other way. Who knows that people will come to get their car washed who would never darken the doors of church normally? They will. It's truth. And most people can't believe that they'll get anything for nothing. And we're doing what we're doing not so that we can manipulate people to come into church, but so that we just do what we can because we can, because that's our heart. We want to bless our community. So this Saturday, the car wash, we're going to have lots of fun. I'm thinking of some ways to make it a little bit more fun, and that will be the surprise. This Sunday night, our anointing service in that town, you do not want to miss it. 6 p.m. City Campus, we're going to be anointing everything that lives, breathes, moves, that would like to be anointed. We are going to be anointing people to serve God. We are going to be anointing people to stand up and run and go hard and do all that God's called them to do. And it's going to be absolutely amazingly wonderful. So bring your teams. Leaders, this is a time for you to bring your teams. Don't just come by yourself. Bring your teams. Organise it. Find a way to come as a team. Go out for coffee afterwards. Do something great. Next Sunday morning, we've got Vision Sunday right here. And Pastor Dave's going to be sharing with us what is coming up even after this. We have just got so much packed into 2010. We've got a season coming where we're going to be going hard, and then we'll have a short season where we'll just regroup. And then we've got another season coming because we just need to keep going. Once we start the ball rolling, we want to keep it rolling. And we want to keep serving our community. We don't want to just be a flash in the pan. So next Sunday at 10:30 here is our Vision Sunday. On the 22nd to the 26th, we've got O Week. O Week is Orientation Week at Muni. Now, you might think, well, what's that got to do with Toronto? It's actually got a real lot to do with Toronto because we're part of Good Life Church. And Good Life Church supports O Week. Whitney gets in there with Red Frogs, and even though we may not physically go and help Whitney, we will support as a church in every way we can because we're part of the vision of Good Life Church at Toronto and Newcastle. March 4 to 6, and this is the big one coming up. Less than 5 weeks away, we have Leadership Excellence Conference. What can I say? If you're not there, you should be just go away and cry. Really, there's nothing else you could do that would be better to impact your life in any way, shape or form. There's nothing that would be more fun. There's nothing that would be more interesting. There's nothing that would be more impacting. And as leaders, you need to be there. You need to make the time. You need to take a day off work, take a day off school if you're able to. You need to make it a priority because when you make it a priority, when you allow yourself to have that sown into you, you become a greater capacity leader. And that's what we want to do this year. March 19 to 21, we've got State Youth Camp, which our youth are excited about. And again, you might think, well, that's a youth thing. But maybe you could partner with youth by sponsoring someone who can't afford to go. Maybe you can't afford the whole thing. Give $10, $20, $30. Give what you can. Do something to be a part of everything that's going on. There's something you can do. Maybe you can help patrol during the conference. Maybe you can help transport children there, youth there. Maybe you can just do something. Maybe you can raise funds by making cookies and raffling them or something. I don't know. Get creative. But that's going to be awesome. And then March 27th, we've got Good Stuff Project number 3. And that is International Wool's End Day. I'm so excited about that. Are you excited about that, Ben? We're going to go, the whole church, not just our church, but we're going to invite every church that's in the Wool's End area. We're going to invite schools. We're going to invite everyone. And we're going to go in there and we're going to make a difference. We're going to find every good thing we can to do. Whether it's mowing lawns, washing windows, cleaning cars, taking out rubbish, whatever we can find to do, we're going to do it. And we're going to do it with all our heart. And we're going to be doing this once every few months at different areas. We're going to be doing it in the middle of the year here in Toronto. We're going to be doing it in at Tyers Hill. We're going to make a difference all over our city. But as I said, to carry this schedule, it's going to take more than just half-heartedly saying, I'll come along, yeah, that sounds good. It's going to take a heartfelt commitment. It's going to take an absolute commitment in our heart and a commitment that doesn't just stay in our heart but actually travels through to our diary and travels through into our finances and actually makes room to be a part of this in every way. We're going to need attitudes of excellence, because we don't want anything, any of this. We can do and do it badly and it means nothing. But if we do it and we do it with the spirit of excellence, we do it with all our heart, all our might, then people are going to say, wow. And that's what we want to do. We want to do it well. If we're going to do it, let's do it to the best we can. Let's just be great capacity leaders. We won't pull it off if we don't have the right attitude. If we've got an attitude where it's too hard, it's too busy, then that attitude will flow into everything that we do. So I challenge you, leaders, set your attitude now. Set the compass of your heart now. We are going to serve. We determine in our heart to be excited. We determine in our heart to do everything we can to see the cause of Jesus Christ, to see the purpose of Good Life Church outworked in our community. Sound good? I am so excited. And with that, I am going to introduce none other than our amazing, most illustrious, I've run out of superlative words, senior pastor, a man that I grow more in admiration for every single day. Pastor Dave, you are a blessing to us and we so honour you. So how about we stand up and honour Pastor Dave as he comes.
Thanks, guys. Take a seat. Thank you. I am pumped for 2010. Anyone pumped? We're like a 12th already through, so we better get cracking. I was thinking, because 2010 we have the opportunity to be bigger and better than ever before, right?
Yeah.
So, right. So I was thinking, if you go and do that, if we were satisfied with the same, we'd just do the same. If you just want the same results, you just do the same stuff, right? But if you want different results, you've got to do different stuff. You've got to up the ante. You've got to up the activity, the passion, the excellence, a whole bunch of different things. But I was thinking, you do that, you create different results, and you win more people to Jesus Christ. You start to take from the kingdom of darkness and bring them into God's kingdom. And I can't imagine the devil kind of sitting back going, wow, that's fantastic. I just love that Good Life Church. They keep on ripping people out of my kingdom and I train them to be champions. And then they keep on and then sending them out to their school or their university or their workplace there and ripping more people into the kingdom of God. I can't imagine the devil sitting back and going, wow, this is fantastic. I love that church. And you know what? I'm going to keep my hands off them. Not really going to bother them at all. It's not really going to happen that way. You've got to realize that when you step up into more of a fight. And Joyce Meyer says, new level, new devil. Sometimes I think new level, same devil, but just at a different level, just at a different strength. But you step up, when you step up to a new level, there are more attacks, more things come your way, more distractions, more discouragements, more reasons to get offended. You know, to step up and do more, it takes bigger capacity. And when you do that, when you start to whoop on the devil, he's not happy. And you end up with what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night service. You end up with bombarding kingdoms when they're coming against each other. And heaven suffers violence, but violent people take it by force. Amen. And I was thinking about even the story. You remember the Exxon Valdez? Maybe some of the teenagers might not remember the Exxon Valdez. It was a while ago. And it was the oil tanker was up in Alaska. You don't know Oil Sandels? You don't? Well, okay. Here's the story. It was an oil tanker. It was up in Alaska. And it was in, was it Prince William Sound? What was it? Does anyone remember the place, the location? Where the Exxon Valdez ran aground the, sorry? Okay, we'll just tell you about it. And the captain of this big oil tanker, one of those huge ocean-going oil tankers, was actually drunk and ran aground. And the oil went out of this huge, huge tanker, the biggest one you could ever get. And it just went right the way, I think it was Prince William Sound. It went everywhere. And the oil was everywhere. It went on everything. There was animals. There was bird life. It was everything dying. The fish couldn't breathe because whatever it takes for them to get through to the fish what they need. And it was so bad. It was this big, big tragedy. And they were looking at all these different rules and regulations they were going to bring, and so it would never happen again. And all these volunteers came out. out, and a whole bunch of new generation of greenies was born there at the Exxon Valdez spill. And one of the things I did was I had to rehabilitate seals. And it was right in there. And you know what they cleaned? They cleaned every rock right around this whole place. They would pick up, they were trying to collect all the oil and clean it off so the place could get back. It was one of these pristine, beautiful environments. And they cleaned up the whole thing, and every bird and every gannet got patted down and get the oil off and all that kind of stuff. But they had to rehabilitate these seals. Because they had to take them out, they had to fix them up, and then they had to get them. And at the cost for each seal, the cost for each seal to really rehabilitate was $80,000. And it came to be $80,000 per seal. That's an expensive seal. And so they had this final ceremony. They just cleaned up the whole of the bay. It took them ages, months and months and months. And they finished with this rehabilitation of these last two seals. They had this major ceremony right there on the shore. And they're going to release these two seals back into the wild, back into the same environment they came from. But it was beautiful again. The oil had all gone. And these rehabilitated seals, all that kind of stuff, they let them through into the water. And everyone was clapping and cheering. People were crying. And oh my gosh, this is absolutely amazing. And within 1 minute, a killer whale comes. Bang! Belts the two of them and swallows them. That's what you call bombarding kingdoms. That's what you sit there and go, a killer whale's sitting there going, there hasn't been seals in this bay for a long time. Finally, here's lunch. And the devil's not sitting back and going, wow, you guys are doing really well. He's going to have a red hot dip. And so therefore, for us to step up, we must actually step up within our capacity and within our character. We must be able to do that. We must step up. We must have understanding in regards to structure or leadership and unity, and understand that to step up, we cannot afford those things that would hold us back. If you've got a whole bunch of balloons and you want to go up into the sky with the helium, you've actually got to let go of the bricks that are holding you back. And a lot of those bricks that we need to just chop off are the attitudes of things that hold us down. So we're going to talk, when we talk about vision for 2010, it's going to be more about the people we're becoming than the things that we're doing. Because when we change the people, when we improve, when we grow, when we say I'm ready to stretch, and the people I'm, the person I'm becoming, the people as a company of people that we're becoming, our capacity is more. Do you know what the call of God on your life is actually bigger than you're seeing right now? But I believe for a lot of people, God withholds the depth and the strength of what God would really have on you. Because if He put everything, all of the call of God on your life right now, what's on you would crush you, because what's in you can't sustain you. And that's why God just deals with us a step at a time. Step at a time. So, and they're qualifying steps. Because you get to the next step and you go, well, I'm ready for this one. Oh, I'm ready for the battle. Ready for that. And you get to the point where you're going, I'm ready to step up again. But some people step up, and when you step up into the firing line, go, I don't like that. Get back down again. But the cool thing is, once you go up this first step, and you start to deal with it and go, you know what, I can handle this attack, this is fine. Guess what the next deal is? Next step, your view from up here is fantastic. What you can achieve by seeing more is better than you'd ever, ever imagined or dreamt or thought before. And so we've got to understand is that as we go forward, it's the people we're becoming. And out of that people that we're becoming, it's then the things that we do. Faith without works is dead. So there's stuff to do. So when Pastor Juliet talks through and says, well, there's a car wash going on this Saturday, you've got two options. You can say, well, who's the people that we're becoming? We're becoming a people of initiative, people that are generous, people that give. We're on the journey from strength to strength, from glory to glory, more to more. I'm getting more and more into God's image. And I said, well, God, what have you got me to do? Well, there's a car wash on. Can I make it? I might have to move some stuff in my diary. Well, there's leadership excellence going on. You could say, well, yeah, I'm going to be there. Of course I'm going to be there. It looks flipping brilliant. Or you could go, I'm going to get all of my team. I'm going to make sure everyone's there to make sure they get built in their life as well. A leader starts to think about, yeah, here's my responsibility. But then it comes that responsibility then to help others also. And so, sure, we're going to be in a fight. So we've got to understand how we form. In any army, there's a leadership structure, right? Any army, there's captains, there's majors, there's generals, there's lieutenants, there's I don't know what else there is. Corporals, I really don't know, pardon? Right tenants. Lieutenants and right tenants. Well, you're funny.
Yeah, comedian of the year last year because no one else was better. That's tragic.
So it was by vote, and Ben rigged the vote. He wanted to win one of them. So I just want to be very clear. That's why I've asked some of the some of the crew. I've got Ben, obviously Ben as youth pastor, covers across both campuses, and so doing a brilliant job. 42 kids here on Friday night. How many young people have come to Christ in the last 2 weeks? 15 young people have given their lives to Jesus Christ in the last 2 weeks. Come on, let's give this team a big clap. It's brilliant. Okay. I've asked Pastor Christie. Mick and Christie take care of the kids in the city, but they also take a multi-campus role as department leaders also. Now, we've got young Miss Emily Dwyer. Oh, Dowling. Sorry, missed that. Her and Matt are getting married. That'll be fun. You could be like sisters. Hey? We'll talk about it later. It's probably illegal at the moment. Let's talk to your parents. You didn't get that memo. But Mick and Christy oversee kids ministry across our campuses. And also I've got here tonight Ben and Dallas. And they moved down. They moved down yesterday from Brisbane. So Dallas is going to be the administrator and office manager. Once they actually find somewhere to live, that'll be nice for them to actually then come to work from that place. And Ben and Dallas will take care of our young adults, same again, right across the campuses. And we also have Cassie, who couldn't make it here tonight, has some family visiting from where? Down south. And from Portugal. Great, that'd be north, kind of west-ish. Yeah, depends how keep on going around the globe. That'd be brilliant. And so, Cassie, same again, although takes care of things at the city campus, has a dual campus role in taking care of things there. So, but really, what you do need to understand is that, and we've talked through what we actually call Pastor Juliet's role. And we've called all types of different things, haven't we? As long as you don't call me late for dinner, she says. Well, that's what I say. Yeah, that was a bad joke. That was a dad joke. At least I've got a reason. I'm a dad. I can have dad jokes. Bad. You want to be a dad, you can just find yourself a girlfriend first. Pastor Juliet's role is as congregation pastor. And so her role is to take care of the day-to-day runnings of this campus. And so overseeing all. And so just by the same token as we've got Mick and Christy are across as department leaders with the kids bracket. They work with Emily, but Emily's accountability is directly to Pastor Juliet. The coaching, you'll find Mick and Christy might talk about specific things with kids stuff, and they work together. And especially when we've got campus things, we're working together. They'll work together in that team working there. But when it comes down to the life of the church day in, day out, it comes down to accountability, and you can just basically just ground her at home when she does all the wrong things. Like if she messes up with the kids ministry, the kids let out down the thing, she's just get grounded for a month, and that would be fantastic. And so Ben with youth, he doesn't have a department leader at either campus. He's the one for. So when it comes to it, we kind of work together. But when things are happening locally, works directly under Juliet. So Juliet's role is to oversee the whole of the campus. It's the same as with music. Tony and Sharon take care of things day in, day out, week in, week out. But their accountability and mentoring comes straight through from Juliet. Some of the specifics of music or team building you might find come along. So that's how we work it. It's to make sure that if we add to the team, if we can develop the team, if there can be specifics in regards to specific areas of ministries that are assisted and helped for, that's going to be brilliant. But I want you to know that the accountability, the leading, the mentoring comes through with Juliet. My job is to continue to build her life, and we continue to do that and partner and say, well, how can we together as a team grow and reach out to our city, reach out to our town? What are the opportunities we have to reach out to more and more people, to develop more and more people? How can we do that? And so, you know, one of the ways, even how the youth done it, how they've said, well, look, we're not just going to go one campus all the time. And what we've been able to do is multiply a youth ministry. And so, 3 weeks of the month that it's happening, where your kids don't have to travel. Is that okay? Is that cool? And that happens at both campuses. So on a fortnightly basis, there's two youth ministries happening at the same time. Something's brilliant that Ben's been able to train up a team to be able to build that separately, but also every second week they're together. But just on that off fortnight, it's either going to be here or it'll be at the city campus. Now, to do that will take a fair bit of leadership. It's going to take a fair bit of partnership. If we want to, I sit there and think with 42 kids, and there were just carloads and carloads and carloads of kids coming from right around this area. There is not a, I don't know of any, I know of youth ministries that get their kids out of here to go and join in with, but I just sit there and go, what an opportunity we have to build a pumping youth ministry within the kids of this local area. Do you not think that the kids of the local area need Jesus Christ in Toronto? And need Jesus. What a shining, shining light it is to be able to put that on. And so that structure of understanding the leadership is very, very important. So I will be talking to Juliet about her leadership of you, about bringing the best out in you. So if within your department you've got any questions, your first port of call is to ask Juliet, how do we deal with this? How do we work through this issue? How do we build that person? Okay, if you want to appoint or get someone to help you through with a part of it, talk to Juliet first before you go and appoint them. That's how we've got to work it through so we can build together and we can say, come on, this is one vision to reach Toronto. Juliet's accountable to me for that, okay? Now, my role as senior pastor is to oversee the multiple campus. Now, at the moment, that's two campuses, but what you'll hear later on is we've got plans to, hopefully not too long, make that even more than two. And then the plan would be not to stop there. We are, I tell you what, the DNA of the house of God that we've got, that God has placed us in as multiple campus, is great capacity, great influence, and we'll be reaching out more. And so what you'll find there is I won't be asking the city campus to be doing all the work of launching more campuses. I'll be saying, well, together, guys, we can reach more and more areas of our city, areas that God is reaching us into. God is speaking to me about areas in other countries also to start good lives, and we shall see where God leads us there. But also in our local area that God is going to be leading us to and building great, great things. And so together, we'll all be doing the stretch because we want the kingdom of God to be pushed forward and for people to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. To do that, you've got to know there's a fight on your hands. We've got to be strong. We've got to be resilient. We've got to be ones that stand up. We've got to have ones with the attitude of that God would have us to have. Mark Ramsey says that, do you know that attitude is contagious? But is yours worth catching? Great. Attitude is contagious. Is yours worth catching? I think about the attitude. I was thinking about a new Christian that I knew once who gave a testimony and was so passionate, on fire, it started to get a couple of the Christians who'd been Christians for a long time all upset. Because their attitude there was—they were just so on fire. This kid gets up to give a testimony at church, not at youth group, at church, about how much he loves Jesus, how much Jesus had changed his life. This kid had been a bit of a rat, all kinds of different things. He'd come from the rough side of the tracks. Gets up on a Sunday morning to give a testimony at church, and this kid stands up and goes, "Oh man, Jesus is effing awesome." But he didn't say effing, it was the whole word. Jesus effing awesome. And everyone's like, whoo. Nobody knew what to do. And he goes, let me tell you how effing awesome Jesus is. I was thinking about the other day, you know when you're just busting for a pee? You know when you're busting for a pee so much? You just so need to go to the daddy. And it's like Jesus is so good. It's like when you finally get to go for a pee and you go, oh, that feels so good. Jesus is even better than that! Attitude is contagious, but is yours worth catching? And so when we think about the great things that, and I'm going to start to articulate some of the things tonight and also in a couple of weeks with Vision Sunday. But some of the things we're going to do, but it doesn't come down to the stuff that we do. It comes into the people we are. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts and the plans, I know the good things the thoughts I have for you, and their thoughts and their plans for good and not evil, to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And then he kind of shuts up. He doesn't kind of say, well, Rod Smith, this is the plans, and I'm going to give you some details right now. Bada-bing, bada-bing, bada-bing. Because it'd be nice if God spoke that way. But he says, I know the plans I've got for you. But all he does is he tells you the nature of those plans. He doesn't give you a whole lot of detail. So I can say, well, this is what I believe God has got for us to do in the future. But if we don't take on his nature, it won't happen. It will not happen. If we're not ready to get propelled into our platform, if we're not ready to get sometimes corrected to be built up in the things of God, we won't reach it. Because if we stay the same, we'll just stay the same. We'll just stay the same. And God goes, this is my nature that I have for you. Will you pick it up? Some of those qualities that we're going to talk about, which is a major part of the vision, I don't want to sit there and talk about all the big things that we're going to do, because we will. I'm a determined little sucker. We'll get there. And the thing is, we're going to rise to the call, brilliant. But if we choose not to rise to the call, someone will. And I'll be around for it. And so those qualities are the people that will do brilliant things for the kingdom of God and whoop on some devil. I've asked Pastor Juliet to kind of explain a bit more of that to us here tonight. Is he ready to go? Good to go? Come on, let's put our hands together and welcome Pastor Juliet back.
All right. What are the qualities of a good life, huh? What qualities do you want to see in the letters above you? And are you showing those qualities to the people you're leading? Have a think about it. Have a think about who do you look up to in your life? Who do you look at and think, I really aspire to be like that person because they da-da-da-da. What is it that they do? And how can you incorporate that into your life? Are you giving people someone to follow? Or are you a leader by name and you're just getting frustrated because nobody will follow you because they don't actually know what to follow? I'm going to talk to you about the qualities of a good life. And now I'm not talking about the qualities of a good life leader. I'm just talking about a basic, run-of-the-mill, everyday, awesome, on fire, loving God Christian. Okay, you ready? Second mile Christians. Matthew 5:38-42 talks about how we've got to be willing to go the second mile. Anyone will go the first mile. That's just average. But we're not called to be average. We're called to be better than average. And so if we're second mile Christians, we won't do the bare minimum to get things done. We'll actually say, okay, well, that's bare minimum. That's what anyone would do. But you know what? I can do this much more. And I can do this so much better. And I can not just give someone a cup of coffee and a hello, but I can say, would you like to come home for lunch? Or can I take you out for coffee? Or when we're in the car park on Saturday morning, instead of just washing cars and leaving them wet, we can shammy them. Not only can we shammy them, but maybe we could grab a vacuum out and clean inside as well. We can do more. And if we'll become people who will do more, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You feel like you've got to be a pirate with that. Aha! Oh, that's dreadful, Matt. Absolutely terrible. I feel like I've just got to light candles or something. Horrible. Jan loves it. Sorry, darling. Where was I? Second mile Christians. This is not leaders. This is just average Christians. This is what we're called to. As Christians, as people who love God, as people who've been saved and set free, as people who Jesus has made a difference in, we're called to be second mile. Are you a second mile Christian? Look at your life. What do you do that's second mile? And if you're not, what can you? Don't just think, well, I don't, so I can't, and that's it. Give up. Too hard. No! Get inspired. What can you do? Who can you walk that second mile with? Psalm 84 verse 5 says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca or weeping, they make it a spring. What are you making of things? When you pass through a valley, what are you doing with it? Are you moaning? Are you criticising? Are you complaining? Or are you saying, woo, a valley. Gonna hit a mountain soon. What are you doing? What's your attitude? Because your attitude in the valley will determine if you ever get out of it. Not only will it determine if you ever get out of it, it'll determine how other people coming through that valley with you manage to get out of it as well. You're a leader. You're leading someone. You need to take that seriously. What are you making of the circumstances, the situations and the opportunities God is giving you in your life? Every single day. When you have an opportunity to be offended, what are you doing with it? When you have an opportunity to complain, what are you doing with it? When you go through that valley, what are you doing with it? Are you making it a spring? Are you making it something that will refresh everybody? Or is it becoming a place where people just drown crying? Which is basically what I think a valley of weeping would be. Pretty miserable. What are you making of things? The only difference is your attitude. That's the only difference. Same place. Hebrews 11:12 says that all these people were living by faith and they didn't even see the promise come to pass. It says that they died not seeing the promise. But I challenge you, tell me that you don't see the promise. Even though you haven't seen it come to pass, what's that promise that God has put in your heart over your life? What's the promise that you see over your family? You can't tell me you haven't seen the promise. You've seen it. But we don't stop and think, well, gee, it's a really big promise. Might be a bit hard. So probably won't happen in my lifetime, so give up. That is not what a leader does. That's not even what a Christian does. A Christian sees the promise and runs and takes hold and says, God, you said. Because as Pastor Dave said earlier, you don't even comprehend a little bit of what's in front of you. You see the next step. And once you're almost there, God will show you another step. But if you don't reach that, that's all you'll ever see. What's the dream? Get the dream, get the vision, get under the vision of the church, get under the vision of what God has for your life, figure out how it all works in, get the people that you're leading, get them passionate, get them dreaming, get them involved, and just see what God will do. Just see, because it's awesome. Attitude is contagious. You walk in here with a filthy one, it's not long before everyone's got one. Am I right? But you walk in here with an excellent one and you'll challenge every filthy attitude in the place. And they'll have to go or change. I know who I'd rather be. Let's be carriers of goodness. Let's be carriers of joy, not horrible, bitter, cold human beings. Attitude is contagious. Make sure yours is worth catching. Make it catchable. Not like a flu, like something that's really worth catching, like a prize. All right? I want to talk to you about the three E's of leadership. And these are Pastor Dave's very own. He told me today, which I'm very impressed, Pastor Dave. So, you know, you're hearing nuggets from heaven. Example, explain, exhort. Those are the three things that we should be. We're called as leaders to be an example. True? If we're an example, we are an example. whether we realise it or not. We can be a good one or a bad one, but we are an example. So let's be a good one. But if we're not a good example, then how can we explain to someone else that we're leading how to be a good example to someone we want them to lead? We can't. And we stop right there. We've got to be living lives of integrity, lives where we just decide to do what's right because it's right. A life lived with integrity is a life that is lived the same whether someone's watching or whether someone's not. Are you the same at home as you are everywhere else? Or do you change persona? Have high integrity. Live a life that's worth living. You've got to live it anyway. Live it well. It's really not a hard choice. Misery, happiness. I know what I want. Happiness. Simple. You can't explain how to be. You can't make someone what you're not. You just can't. As parents, you cannot train up a child to be something that you're not. You just don't know how to. And not only can you not do that, then you can't encourage people. You can't even go beyond that and get into exhortation where you literally are lifting people up onto their platform. We're called to be people who live amazing examples, not people who are perfect. People who are very not perfect and not ashamed of that. People who are willing to admit their humanity but love God and push through no matter what. As good lifers, we're called to be welcoming. We're called to be inviting. We're called to be bringing, each one of us as leaders, we're called to be bringing people to everything. Everything we do, every aspect of our life is an opportunity to invite someone along. When you're at home, you can have someone there. When you're doing something, you can invite someone along. How can you open your life and include someone else in it? We're called to be resilient. We're called to step up and say, no, I will not step back down. If you're a leader, there is a core in you of mongrel. There just is. And if there isn't, then you're not a leader. There's got to be something in you that says, no matter what, no matter how hard it gets, I am not giving up. I am not letting go. God, you said, and I'm running. That doesn't mean you won't have times where you're pushed around a bit. But something in you, eventually you'll get to the wall and you'll say, no. Let the mongrel come out in the right way. Leaders, good lifers, show initiative. Don't wait for someone else to tell you what to do. Don't wait for someone else to put a book in your hand and say, hey, you need healing. Don't wait for someone else to invite you to come to leadership excellence. Don't wait for someone else to give you an opportunity to do good. Find it. That's what leaders do. They look, they find, they discover. Have a spirit of excellence in all you do. Enjoy life. Just have fun. You know, so often Christians become Christians and then they just stop living. They breathe and they do all good things, but actually they're just dead. No one is going to be attracted to Jesus if it looks like you're already dead. Wake up. Have fun. Lighten up a bit. It doesn't matter. We're called to be living in the power of God. And we should be seeking habitation, not just visitation. We should be developing such a presence of God around our lives where we are actively seeking to be in His presence and learn how to walk in that every single day. Every single minute of every day. It is possible. It's not some freaky do-do-do-do thing that only super spiro people do. It's actually what people who really are passionate about God do. They learn how to walk fully in the Spirit and be effective in their world. Good life is it's time to rise up. Time to grab hold of the vision and say, yes, I'm going to let that mongrel make sure that I do not step down, step back, fall over. I'm going to let myself be accountable in my life so that I can't be pushed over, so that nothing's going to hide under my life and come back up and rip me off later. And I'm going to just have a heart of excellence in all I do. And when you do that just as a good lifer, your leadership will just go to the next level. Come on. I'm excited. We've got so much before us. So much before us. But so much is dependent on who will allow God to be in us. And if we're willing to do what we need to do in 2010. It's going to be fun. It's going to be lots of fun. And on that note, I'm going to hand back to Pastor Dave.
Thank you, Reverend. I love it. I was thinking about some of those, marks of a good lifer, and obviously as a good life leader, if we're the first going to be the example before we can let anyone else know. I was thinking in regards to initiative, and I thought, I mean, coming up with an answer to a problem is such a great thing. Yeah. Thinking about the guy in around Christmas time who had some initiative and thought that he'd blow up a plane. And the best way he'd do it would be to strap all the explosive in his undies. And they're calling him now the panty bomber, which I think would be really, kind of discouraging. Personally, you wouldn't have been called the panty bomber. Could you imagine being in jail? You're the panty bomber. Yeah, just see the burn marks down my legs. And I thought, well, after they had the shoe bomber, everyone had to go to the airport and take off your shoes. And put them through the machine just to check for security. I thought, well, after the panty bomb, what's everyone going to have to do from now? This is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. But the guy had initiative. I thought about another a young lady who was a leader in a church back in Brisbane, and she had her first car, and she wanted to have initiative to check the oil levels, and so she knew what she had to do was to pull out the dipstick. And to check it out on that, wipe it and put it back in again and check it and see how much was on there. And she realised that the oil was low. 2 hours later, she rings up one of the guys in the youth group and says, "What is going on? The oil is not going up very far." And he says, "What do you do?" She says, "Well, the dipstick showed it was very low, and so I've been putting oil in." He says, "How you been doing it?" She goes, "Well, it's where the dipstick goes in, you put the oil back in there." She'd be doing by capfuls of oil, trying to get it down the dipstick. Only going everywhere. She goes, "Going everywhere." And he says, "Look on the top of the engine. See that thing with the oil sign? Yeah, yeah. Open that. Shove it down there." I suddenly thought, this girl's got initiative. She didn't want to get caught. She didn't want to ask, "What do you do?" She thought, "Well, I just want to go and do it." And I thought, really, when it comes down to it, sure, there might be a couple of things where people take initiative. It's a bit funny. But then again, just to be sitting back and waiting on when someone else is going to do it. If you see something that needs done, if someone needs a chair, take the initiative. If someone didn't get to their roster on time, they're meant to be in the music team or on the door or on the... You know what? Just flip and make a coffee if you know how. If someone just needs... If you walk in and go, "The toilets weren't clean," well, you know what? Pull out the brush. Make it happen. If someone didn't get welcomed, if it didn't happen right, I tell you what, you be the person. It's a different thing to have a welcoming attitude than just be on the roster welcome. Because roster welcome isn't usually a welcome attitude. And so thinking about those types of things, the attitude that we have is so, so significant. A thought about being responsive or passionate about energetic. As good lifers, we cannot afford to be ones that look like we're dipped in lemon juice. We've got to be passionate and responsive. Let me tell you what happens. Is when you've got a preacher who's preaching, and you say amen, guess what happens? Start to build, they're like, "Wow, this is fantastic. I'm actually preaching good for once in my life." And you sit there and go, "Well, they're not always preaching good." Well, if you give the amens, maybe they'll improve. The same with it. Yeah, Ken, if you can do it. But great to do it here. But you know what? While it's on a Sunday, guess what? You know what the most important chairs? And I've said this again. I'll say it again. We've got to fill these ones at the front and the second row in the side there. Because we can be as leaders the example then of passion. When praise and worship's going on, we're getting into it, I'm giving my all, guess who someone's looking past is an example. It's not, "Well, look at me, I'm worshipping the Lord. I can't just see my hand raised. Now there's two." It's not that. It means it's a heartfelt response of worship. It means if you're on the platform, it means if I'm ever on the platform, it means I've got to be like I'm on the platform when I'm down here. If you're a song leader and you want people to be into it while you're song leading, you better be into it by someone else's song leading. That's how it works. We've got to have the energy and passion. Could you imagine people walking in the door going, man, this is the most on fire place I've ever been to. This is the most energetic place I've ever been to. And it's not putting well, you know what, it might be putting something on. The Bible says take off the old man and put on the new man. I haven't got a problem cheering for the Knights. I was at the tennis the other night. I was down in Melbourne. I watched Roger Federer absolutely whoop Joe Wilfried Tsonga. Absolutely took him to task. Everyone was cheering. Even when Tsonga was outclassed, you still had the Frenchies with their flag going, let's go, Tsonga, let's. I'm sitting there going, shut up, he's dying. And people are willing to flog the dead horse and even cheer after that when we are the winners. So don't be afraid, guys. We're going to be responsive, passionate, and filled with energy. So some of the things that we're going to do, sure, we've got hearts for God, but the three big things you're going to hear this year, apart from just the normal vernacular of things like we're living the good life, we're partly like living for God, living the good life, so others may live, things like when you find a need and you meet it, so you find the heart and you heal it, would be things like think big, plan big, and act big. Add to all that the standard issues of how we just do life. Think about these three things. Unleashing more good than ever before upon our city. Having open arms and open heart. And propelling every good life into their God-given platform. You know, Ben Perrin says to his youth, he says, they don't let me come to your school and preach the gospel because I'm old and I'm hairy. Well, for me, you're just hairy. And they won't let you on the school grounds. But you got to understand is that every high school kid has their platform. Every person who works has a platform. Any person who's got a relationship with another has a platform. Every person who gets to work with someone who doesn't know has a platform to go and bring the gospel. And so we want to help people in those three areas, and we believe that's a part of how God is setting us forward. There's a number of ways, initiatives that we're doing as we're launching into this year. One of the things is we're repackaging all of the things that we do of a welfare nature. So from food care, from our Red Frogs, to our ministry on the street, to the street workers, to integration of refugees, through to any youth outreaches of getting kids off the street, for our Good Stuff programs, all that sort of stuff. We're repackaging, we're calling it the Good Life Foundation. What I've found is when you say the words global care, we're raising money for global care. Well, what nation is it going to? They're not thinking it's sticking around here. When we say we're taking care of locals, we're taking care of locals. And what we can do is they are actually, and talking to leaders now, all those areas are things that the tax office deems as tax deductible activities. You can raise money for that and give a receipt and people claim it against their tax. All of those things. But we've never done it before that way. So we can raise a stack of money for the things of propelling the kingdom of God forward from the community. And you know what? We can give people receipts, and you can claim it back on your tax, and you can have more to give next time. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? So we can do it that way. So we're packaging that all together. So we're setting that up, the Good Life Foundation. So our global care will now be trading as the Good Life Foundation. As of January, we started that way with the turnover of budgets. There's two major things that we'll be doing to raise money and awareness and media awareness for the Good Life Foundation. Number one is in May, we're going to be doing a walk from Sydney Harbour to Newcastle Harbour. It's going to take a week. Now, all the people that want to be on that have to raise sponsorship monies. And the cool thing about that is I'm going to be asking those people that go on the walk to actually raise sponsorship monies from the community. Because here's what happens. If people don't mind, people in the community, people that are unsaved, then you might say, well, it's going to my church. And they sit there and go, I don't want to give money to a flipping church. Shouldn't the church give money to the church? You don't even get out of your church in America. Doesn't it come from another country? No, it comes from us. But they don't want to give money to the church. But if you say, this is the sponsorship we'll go to. It's about changing lives. It's about picking kids out. It's about feeding the hungry. It's about taking care of those that can't take. It's about taking care of locals in the best way possible, practical needs. It's about taking care of the elderly and shut-ins. It's about all those types of things. So we'll be fundraising from the community. Along that walk, there'll be a whole lot of media exposure, a whole bunch of stuff. And the walk through in May, when we get through to this area, then we're going to be having International Toronto Day. You'll see in March we're doing International Walls End Day. In May we'll be doing International Toronto Day. And so what we'll be doing, both campuses getting together in the one suburb, and we're going to do more good than ever before, okay? We're going to find every need possible in this community and just do it. If someone needs their lawn, great, let's just do it. If some graffiti needs to be cleaned up, we're just going to do it. If there's some rubbish on the side of the roads, guess what we're going to take care of that. We'll clean up along the foreshore. I don't care what we do, as long as it's good. We're going to invite all the churches in the area to be a part of it, and we're just going to do more good than ever before. And then, so that'll be the Saturday. Saturday night will be a big celebration evening right here. Sunday morning church, and then the team that's done the walk will actually be walking all the way between morning church here and night church of the city. You've actually got to get from here to the city in that amount of time. So we may have to do a little bit more than just walk. But anyway, that could be fun. It's still about 25 Ks, and you can do that in 5 hours if you go hard. So that's the problem. So we've got that, and also in June, we've got what we're doing is we're going to do the Good Life Foundation corporate appeal. Same again, it's from people that you would potentially know that would love a great night out. We've got sports stars coming. John Church is actually hosting the night. It's going to be a corporate appeal, professional. I did one of these on the Sunshine Coast. We had an ex NBL player. What's the NBL? The Australian League, not the American NRL. Basketball. NBL, the Australian Basketball League. I had Andrew Walker, who's a dual international rugby league and rugby union. It was just an unbelievable night. We raised $80,000 for the cause on the Sunshine Coast in one night. There's a whole bunch of sports memorabilia and a whole bunch of stuff that we're doing there. So we're going to be launching that, talking about that Kingdom Builders coming up soon through to June. And if you want to be inviting people to come and be a part of that, then please wait, there'll be details coming there. So the foundation is one of the big things. This year we'll be working hard towards setting up our Bible College for 2011. And so we want to have a leadership training institute where we train, where people might say, well, I want to do a gap year. Or, I mean, I want to learn more about the Bible and how to apply it in everyday life and through ministry aspects, which will be Ostudy approved. And we're just working those things through, hopefully so we can launch them by second semester so we can actually have an intake for February next year. So by this time next year, we should be starting our leadership institute. Who thinks that's a great thing? Great. There'll be a whole bunch of initiatives to help you practically live the good life, to help people connect and to serve. One of the big things for this year is the amplified multiplication into two areas. Our missions, I was just absolutely pumped when I was down in Melbourne. For the tennis and stayed through to Sunday, preached to my friend there. I met up with a fantastic man who's doing so much good getting kids out of child prostitution in about 6 or 7 different nations. He's got 25 orphanages under him, and they basically go to the brothels and sit with the kids and basically rescue them right there, bang, and run out with the kids. It's pretty phenomenal what they do. So hopefully we can start some kind of partnership there. But obviously we've got our missions with Liberia, and so that'll be so we've got currently with She Rescue Homes and Liberia is our international missions. We've got our national missions, which will be with Red Frog Schoolies on the Gold Coast. And you don't have to be... The thing about schoolies ministry is that it's two high schoolers, but can never be by high schoolers because the duty of care and the risks associated. It's actually for adults. And so they go, well, can I go to that? When I ran Red Frog Schoolies on the Sunshine Coast for 8 years. I was on the Gold Coast for 3 years before that. Guess who were the ones the most popular? Well, actually, the old grey hairs were people sitting there. Kids are coming up and going, you look like my grandpa. And what are you doing out here? And all they have to say is, we just love you enough to be out here for you, sweetie. And I tell you what, they were like, what are you doing? We could be walking around looking all cool and funky and all kinds of different stuff and hair sticking out all over the place, and I just walk by thinking you're just another rat. But someone walks by and says, hey, look, we care and love you. So we're going to be doing a mission trip later on this year to schoolies, and locally we'll be with our planning for extension services and more Good Life services to come. So that will, once we have those details about how we're going forward with that, or where we're going forward with that, that will be coming your way. So just get prepared, get ready. But the truth is that if we have to be the people that can push this forward, it comes down to the qualities on the inside. And so this year, it's enough of a challenge just to hear that straight up, but you'll be hearing it within your departments. You'll be hearing it on Sunday. You'll be hearing about the people that we're becoming.
And the truth is, if we become more welcoming, then when more people come through the door, they'll stick. Our job as leaders, this is our job as leaders. When we've put our hand up to say, you know what, God, you can count me in. I said, God, I'm not just looking for an opportunity. I'm looking to build the local church. And you know how you build the local church? It's when more people come in than go out. It's just pretty simple maths, right? It's reaching more people. It's inviting more people. And connecting them and helping them serve. You know, most people that are involved find it hard to leave church because I'm a part of the answer. They don't want to be part of the problem. You want to be part of the answer. And so it's our job as leaders to be going, you know, you might sit there and go, oh, that person's older than me. I'm just a teenager. I don't really care about your age. Oh, that person's a teenager. I'm too old. I don't care about your age. It's not about age. It's about going, hi, how you going? Welcome to my church. It's so good to have you here. And you don't look like my age. Can I introduce you to someone who is your age? My age. It's about attitude. Sure? Cool? And I believe as we do that, great, great things happen. I was just thinking about just this week about some of the young people from my old youth ministry back on the Sunshine Coast. And I've been out of that youth ministry for now 5 years. I haven't been a youth pastor. And I was thinking about the other day, I heard a story about a young man who's now an environmental engineer earning $1,200 per day. A young lady who's in media in the ABC and climbing the ladder in the media of our nation. I've got a guy who's a rugby coach for Fijian under 21s. I got people who are politicians. I've got youth pastors. I've got graphic designers. I've got personal trainers, a young man who's going to the UK to try out for a professional soccer team. I've got farmers, I've got chiropractors, I've got leaders in all time. And you know what happens? Because we continue to build, what happens? Great things come of it. Great things come out of people. If we're going to propel people onto their platform, I'm glad I've got a chiropractor who says I'm going to be the best chiropractor I possibly can be. I might not have a microphone in my hand and preach at the front. I might not be able to sing like a bird, but I tell you what, I can crack backs really well. Whatever your platform is, do it. And that's got to be our attitude. And if you get a platform in the house of God, well, do it with the best attitude and faith. And if God gives you an open door into the community, well, be that best example of Jesus Christ to that open door. Well, I've got the opportunity of this, I've got the platform, I'm in this family. Well, you're in that family, be the best you possibly can be. And love people through to the kingdom of God. Invite them to church. Those attitudes we talked about again, welcoming, inviting, being resilient and tough. Being unoffendable. You ready to be unoffendable? Yes. Having initiative. Being excellent. Enjoying the right. Having the power of God through all of our lives. Living a life of God, of habitation, not just occasional visitation. And being responsive, passionate, and energetic. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to split into some teams. And I'm going to ask some department leaders. I'm going to ask my key team that I mentioned earlier. So I'm going to go with the Reverend Juliet. I'm going to go with Ben. We have Christy and then Ben and Dallas. You guys can work together. Ben, you guys can work together. So I've got unos, dos, tres, cuatro. And so we're going to go in teams. I'm just going to split you up that way, all right? So ready, set, go. So you're going to be 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. 2. You're 2. 2, 1, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Ready, set, go. Round your numbers, let's go. Get your teams and I've got some stuff for you to do. Team 1's with Pastor Juliet. 2's with Ben, 3's with Christy, 4's with the Paynes. Team 2. Who are you, Jen? I think they need you up there, Jen. Hey, who? Oh, you're down here. Was Rod down here?
Everyone's keen.
Jen, we'll send you up the back there. You can go up there.
Jen, I'll send you up with Christy. Jen, I'll send you up with Christy.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, go with Christy. You're up there. Okay, so here's the two questions I want you to nut through with your team.
what should your leaders expect of you? Question number two, what should you expect of your leaders? What can? What should? No, just should. What should your leaders expect of you? And what should you expect of your leaders? On your marks, get set.